Hello, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, and welcome. Here we are again, Tales from the Doghouse, Separation Anxiety Explained. You are listening to me, Sarah McLaren, from the UK. I'm losing my teeth again. From Separation Anxiety Solutions, and with me is the lovely Ness.
Hello, it's Ness Jones here in Australia, and I am from Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded. And who have we got here?
It's me. It's Stacey Bell. I am in the U.S. at Focused Fun. Today we have, we're taking this podcast to new heights today. we're going to try some role play because we know that when you are talking to other people about working through your dog's separation anxiety, that you can get into some sticky conversations and maybe feel like there's not a good way to express yourself or to get out of the conversation with your sanity intact. And so we wanted to provide some examples for you.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to this episode, Stacey.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see how it goes.
Can I be the first client?
Yes.
I'm going to push back. I'm going to tell you guys what I think.
Okay, so are we your trainer or are we your friend? Or like, what is our role?
How about Sarah can be my friend telling me all this awful stuff? And you can be my trainer saying different stuff.
Okay. I'm going to say non-awful things because as a trainer,
does that mean I'm the bad guy?
Yeah, you're the bad guy.
Oh, no. I didn't mean it like that.
Naughty Sarah.
okay. Sarah, do you want to tell me something awful?
Are you going to tell me what your dog's doing, what you can't do with your dog?
Well, I have been doing a lot of reading on Facebook, and I have been doing a lot of reading on Google. And what I think happens when I have, because my dog's scared when I walk out the door, and she howls and cries, and it's really, really awful, really awful. But I did some reading, and the Facebook and the interweb, they tell me that I can't leave my dog alone, that I have to be with it. I have to find somebody to be with it all the time. It's stupid. I can't do that.
I need you to come out for dinner with me. And I've read on the internet and on Facebook that if you leave them to just cry, they'll be fine. Can't you just do that with him?
I don't know. I mean, I just think it's stupid. People have lives, you know. It's silly.
I'm sure you could just leave him.
I don't know. Okay. I might reach out to Stacey because I hear she knows what she's talking about.
And I do as a SA pro trainer. So as we've talked about before on the show, the reason why it's so important that we don't leave our dog to panic is because they can't learn that absences are safe if they're continuously being exposed to scary absences. So that's why when we're building up the time, we are cutting out all the scary absences and just providing exposures in little gradual successions in duration to safe absences.
Okay, but I can't afford doggy daycare. It's too expensive.
It's expensive. It is expensive. Am I the trainer still?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if we were like switching up with this new objection.
Oh, is this a new objection? But it's the same one because I'm saying it's unrealistic.
Okay. Yeah. So doggy daycare can be expensive. But a couple things there is number one, it's not a forever thing. So it's just while you get your duration built up for the amount of time that you need away. Number two, there are other options to doggy daycare. So there might be somebody on Rover that would do it less. There might be some neighbors or family or somebody, a student maybe, somebody in your community that could provide babysitting services. There are some like Borrow My Doggy, where people who don't have dogs that just want to spend time with dogs, and that could be like a free thing. You're getting babysitting and they're getting time with your dog. Or if there's like another thing that you can switch off, another service, like say you're really good at woodworking. You could build them a cutting board. No, I'm just like, whatever, like maybe you're an artist and you could paint paintings for their kid's room, or if you are into woodwork, come stay and barter, like do the whole barter thing.
Girl, count it.
I am the worst at coming up with examples, I'm just telling you, but bartering is another way to kind of cut off costs.
That makes sense.
You could say to your lovely friend who's been a bit of a meanie to you that, I tell you what, why can't I bring my dog with me to your barbecue? Can I not do that? Because you love my dog and he loves you. And would that not be an option? Maybe.
Yeah. Or go, if you are going out to a restaurant, go to one that's dog friendly.
Yeah.
And has a covered porch in Sarah's case, because it'll probably be raining.
And dark and cold.
I love you. No, it's been 29 degrees here for the last 3 days.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we've been cooking. I've got a tan. Who wants to do the next one then? Shall I do the next one then?
Sure, go for it. Wait, you have to assign roles.
Stacey can be the bad guy. Ness, you can be the good guy.
Niceness.
Sassy Stacey. I'm going with Sassy Stacey.
Are you going with Sassy Stacey and Nice Ness? I'm trying to think of me. Where am I now? I can't come to your wedding.
What? You can't come to my wedding? That's ridiculous. Why not?
Because I can't leave my dog at home.
Are you seriously putting your dog above our relationship?
Oh, I don't know what to say now. What should... Oh, no. No, I'm not. Oh, crikey. What should I do, Ness?
Well, you should get a babysitter for your dog. Why can't you find somebody to look after your dog?
Because I never thought of it. So, Stacey, if you were to give me lots of notice about when your wedding date actually is, because you've not fixed that date yet. So if you give me the actual date, then I might have enough time to get someone to look after my dog. Would that be better?
Yes, that, you know what? That sounds fabulous, Sarah. Thank you for pointing out that I've been kind of a slacker in planning my own wedding.
Well, you know, Stacey, we need that date. I can't even buy a frock without a date. There have been some poor clients though, who have not been able to go to big events, weddings, parties, things, because they can't get someone to look after the dog.
And that's problematic for people whose dogs are not very good with other people, especially.
So what do we say to Pete, to the friends who we're really going to upset?
I love my dog more than you. No, maybe not. Maybe not. Well, that's a good question. I mean, look, I would still be trying to find cover. I would still be trying to get there. I would do my move mountains and earth to get there. And that might look like getting a trusted dog sitter to your place and introduce the dog and that person in a good, kind way where the dog's not freaked out or, you know, getting upset. So there might be a bit of training involved pre-wedding, pre the whole leaving it alone. In terms of, you know, getting the dog used to that person.
Yeah, I think that's it, but it's back to that thing that Sarah noted about me not planning my wedding far enough in advance or fixing that date is that, like, when you have a lot of advanced notice.
Oh, yes.
It's a lot easier to plan for those things, especially if you have a dog that requires, you know, careful introductions. Mm. I do think in general, one of the biggest ways to get through separation anxiety training without feeling totally overwhelmed and trapped and all of those negative feelings is, number one, to work with the trainer, but also equally as importantly is to build your village, right? Mm. Find people, find two or three people that you can really trust to take care of your dog. And even if you don't need it, regularly reach out to those people and have them watch your dog. Because when you do need it, you want to know that it's going to be okay. And you want to be confident that your dog is comfortable. Really important part of this whole gig.
Yeah. And as you say, with something like a wedding, it is planned in advance, but outside of that, events can be spontaneous. And when you've got a dog with separation anxiety, you do lose that spontaneity. So yeah, mm-hmm. having that village is really important.
I think it's a good way to mitigate the circumstances with your friends, though. If you've got good friends, you can always say to them, look, and I know that I've got a dog that I can't leave on its own. And obviously, you know, I still need some kind of social life. So it would be great if you guys could always give me as much advance notice as possible to give me time to plan, to give me time to find somebody to look after my dog. And that way, I think, you know, you're less likely to upset.
Right.
Some friends.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's the spontaneous things that are going to be the toughest. Hey, you know, we just decided let's go to dinner after work, or let's, you know, go to the movies, or if people still do that, or, you know, like whatever. But that's why I think it's important to, like, you have more than just one sitter, right? And if your dog is a dog that can do well in daycare and you have one that is suitable near you, you still want to have sitters outside of that, because a lot of times daycares have, like, fixed hours, fixed drop off and pickup times. And, you know, a lot of times it's daycare, not night care, right? So if you want to go out in the evening, the daycare might be already closed. So that's why I think it's, like, plan ahead with all of these options. Don't wait until you need a sitter to find a sitter. Do that straight away.
Yeah. And get on the internet and find all the places close to you where you can take your dog so that you can invite your friends out spontaneously and say, come out for lunch with me and my dog.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, Sarah, is because if people feel like they're inviting you and you're always turning them down, they're going to stop inviting you, right? And yes. That's going to make you feel even more isolated. So yeah. If you take the initiative and ask your friends, then what is that noise?
I have two dogs wrestling.
Oh, my bed. It sounded like a man talking. I don't know why it sounded like a man talking to me. I was like, do we have a guest speaker?
not quite. No. Two of the girls. But actually, just in terms of that, I have I had a lady reach out to me, and she felt very cut off from her family because it was quite sad. She was very upset and emotional about it. She said that her family were saying to her that she loved the dog, meant more to her than the family did. And she had, she was at the point of being literally cut off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very sad.
Well, and you can understand why the family would feel that way, you know, but as a pet parent, guardian, or whatever you want to call it, I think it's important to maybe have the conversation with the people that feel like they're being put in second place, that, like, you know, when I adopted or bought or whatever this dog, I made the commitment to be there for them. and to take care of them. And that means also taking care of like any mental or psychological stuff that could be happening to them, as well as the physical stuff. And so when I leave him, he's having a panic attack the entire time I'm gone. And I just wouldn't even be able to enjoy our time together knowing that my dog was home alone panicking that whole time. Right. Mm. So I think when you put it like that, it's not, maybe people would, because it's hard for people who haven't had a dog with separation anxiety to fully understand what that means. Right. So, so I do think that it's worth kind of maybe spelling it out for the people that you love. That said, sometimes you spell it out and they still disagree with the way you're approaching it. You know, the whole letting them cry it out, just put them in a crate and shut the door, they'll be fine. You know, all of those things are things that come up. Mm-hmm. And so you can say the things that we say on this podcast about how that's not a way to teach the dog that it's safe. But at some point, I think you just have to agree to disagree, right? Like, I think you just have to say, you know, I would like to take a gentle approach with my dog. I am working with a trainer, or, you know, I'm following this program or whatever you're doing. I would appreciate your support, even if you don't agree with me.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Because the last thing you want to do is to put your family on the defensive, or for you to feel defensive either, because it's it's such an emotional issue. And, you know, it is, like you said, Nessa, you know, you get clients who feel trapped and who feel alone, and they really, really need that support. So they need to find a way to talk to family that doesn't create difficulty between them. I mean, you can always say the other thing as well is, like, if, you know, you can say you're working with a trainer. The other thing is to say that for some people, if you say that this is your vet's advice that you do with this particular training, or you've not trained them for long enough to be on their own yet, but this will happen in time. So if they can just stay with you for a couple of months, you know, you might be able to go and do more things, but right now, this is what you need to do right now.
Okay, so Sarah, you're the trainer now, is that right?
Okay,
I'm the bad guy
and I have to come up with a thing.
Yeah, a thing. It was a thing, Stacey.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, your thing is that your dog, you've got a dog with separation.
I know, but do I need to, like, start with something? I'm really worried about my role here. I might start talking about woodworking or something, and then what? Okay, so I'm going to say, so Nessa's my friend. That's bad. No, just for a second, and then you can be good again. All right. Hey, Ness, I just adopted this dog and I'm so excited about her. She's perfect in every way, except that I can't leave her.
Oh, that's easy. You just put her in a crate.
She doesn't like the crate. Like, she scratches at it and bites at the bars, and her, like, yeah, her mouth was bleeding. It was like, it was really hard to watch.
Oh, don't worry. Look, I know where you can buy an indestructible crate. So all you need to do is put her in the crate, make sure it's one of those indestructible ones that she can't get out of. And I've got an even better idea. Get yourself an e-collar, a shock collar, and put that on her, and that'll keep her quiet.
No, but I feel like she's already been through so much, like, before I adopted her, that I don't really feel good about any of those solutions.
Well, you know, you just have to take a spoonful of cement and harden up.
Wow.
Cement. I think you need to talk to your
Sarah.
Stacey. Oh, Stacey, I am so sorry to hear that your friend has said such things to you. My advice to you, Stacey, would you drop her like a hot rock? I'm sure you've got I'm sure you've got other friends that are much nicer.
I've not heard that expression before. A spoonful of cement and harden up. Nice.
You did end up with your teeth stuck together, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Thankfully, living where I live, I haven't heard people suggest that one, but I have seen it out there in the real world, and it's a tough one, isn't it? Especially the indestructible crates. I mean, they're quite a big thing. So what was Nessie's main objection was that you couldn't come out to play, or just that you got this dog that you couldn't do things with?
Oh, I think both of them, you know, like, you're my friend. And, you know, suddenly you've got this dog and it's more important than me. Like, come on. Are you my friend or not?
Definitely drop her like a hot rock. yeah, so you would, for suggestions like that, the tendency is definitely to shy away from arguments because you're never going to win a fight with that one. And it is just...
I'm always right.
Make you both really, really defensive. And Stacey, you're just... get upset and Ness is going to get upset with you, and before you know it, you'll fall out anyway. So it's kind of one of those that you might want to gently swerve and either not talk about your dog anymore with Ness, or find other ways to kind of like talk around that. Oh yes, we tried the crate and it didn't work, or we tried an indestructible crate and it didn't work, so now we're doing some training with this wonderful trainer, and you know, we expect to get somewhere in the next few weeks, and they're in a, I don't know, you can always say that they're in a room, in a dog-proofed room or something, which we found was much more friendly than the crate, and things like that, maybe.
Why don't you get one of those collars that give them a zap when you leave? That'll keep them quiet. That's what you want, isn't it? You just want them quiet so your neighbours don't complain.
I would rather my dog be comfortable with being home alone than just quiet and miserable. And I guess, like, for me, I'm stepping out of my role for a minute, because like I guess what I would encourage people who get this suggestion, and I think Sarah, you're 100% right. I think me arguing with Ness about it, I don't think would be fruitful.
No, I'm always right.
But because she's always right.
Always right.
But by the same token, I do not get the logic behind like the shock collars or the e-collars or however you want to refer to them. Because like the dog is already scared to be alone and panicking. Yes. And then you're going to add pain and fear to that situation to make it better. So really what you're doing is making the dog quiet, but the dog doesn't, like, maybe the dog is shut down, or maybe the dog is, you know, but the dog does not feel comfortable with being alone. And so, you know, a lot of times when you trap them in a crate and also put the collar on them, then they will start doing things like, you know, because the anxiety sometimes needs a way out anyway. Sometimes they'll start with like stuff like self-mutilation and maybe vomiting or soiling in their crate, or, you know, so. Or they can always, become.
Go ahead. We can always go back to that conversation that we had previously, which was you can always thank your friend Ness for their suggestion. Mm-hmm. Because there's, you know, she doesn't know that it's a bad suggestion. Obviously, she's suggesting it because she thinks it'll work. So she doesn't know that it's a bad suggestion. And you don't want to get in a fight with your friend.
I have been watching YouTube and all the dog trainers on YouTube, and that's what they tell me to do.
You can thank Ness for her suggestions and say, you know, I thank you for that, and thank you for thinking of me, and thank you for thinking of my dog. However, I'm not going to go down that route, and I'd appreciate it if you could, you know, maybe we don't. This is not something that we discuss, and Ness can go, all right, then, well, you do your own thing, and I'll just sit back and laugh at you when it goes horribly wrong. And it works.
I don't want to be your friend anymore.
Oh my goodness.
No loss there. So, anyway, it all works out in the end.
But I mean, you're right, Stacey, you can't fight fear with fear. And what is that dog learning when it's shut down in a crate with a collar on? It's not learning anything. It's being quiet. Maybe it's not disturbing the neighbours, but it's not learning to be comfortable being home alone. So yeah, not advice I would actually give anybody as a trainer.
Okay. I'm trying to think of like other common misconceptions.
Misconceptions.
I know.
I have my dog with separation anxiety, and I always leave it with some food when I go out the door because I felt like it might help a little bit. Who's the bad
guy? Does your dog eat the food?
Yeah, because it gobbles the food up. Yeah,
gobbles it right up.
Because Sarah told me that the dog can't possibly have separation anxiety if it eats the food. Isn't that what you said, Sarah?
Yeah. I said, yeah, just give it a con. When you go out, it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so what happens when your dog finishes the con-ness?
It gets upset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it can't be separation anxiety because Sarah told me that it can't. If it's eating the food, it hasn't got separation anxiety. Dogs that are scared don't eat food.
It's really funny because when you think of even just people, right? Like when people are feeling anxious, there are some people who totally lose their appetite, right? And then there are other people. Yeah. And then there are other people who get like the munchies, right? And they just like stuff their face.
Sarah, what are you?
If I'm seriously stressed, then it's the head straight in the cupboard and basically anything.
Yeah,
I'm not one of those that doesn't. I wish I was one of those that didn't eat when I got stressed.
Yeah, but I think that's the same way for our dogs, right? Is that you can tell a lot of times you can tell by the way your dog is eating the Kong that you know that they kind of have like this frantic edge to them on how they're consuming the Kong relative to how they would normally consume it. So that's one thing, but even if that's not the case, even if it does serve as a proper distraction for however long it takes the dog to eat the Kong, when they're finished, if you're seeing that they are panicking, then, you know, you really haven't achieved anything. You've achieved a distraction for however long it takes them to eat the Kong.
I was going to say, it's the difference between eating a bar of chocolate and not even noticing it's gone down because you've snaffled it down that fast compared to when you sit there with your chocolate buttons and suck them and eat them one by one and it takes you like an hour to eat one bag. That's a whole different ballgame, isn't it, between stress and actually taking the time to enjoy something. And I think some dogs are definitely that. They have that almost manic edge to them, don't they, when they're eating.
I like that analogy, Sarah. It's good.
Me and my chocolate buttons. Nom, nom, nom.
So I have a dog with separation anxiety. And a friend of mine was telling me that
which friend was it? Was it me or Sarah?
It was you.
Oh.
It was you. You told me.
I'm always right.
Well, and that's how I know that this is good advice. That if I just get another dog, that my dog will then be okay and won't have separation anxiety anymore.
Well, it worked for a friend of a friend's dog.
And it might have done with the friend of a friend's dog who might have had a dog that died maybe, or they'd already been a part of a pair, and the reason they've got separation anxiety is because they're lost and lonely without their little doggy friend. Did you want another dog, Stacey?
I mean, not really, because this one is pretty expensive, you know, and we're having to spend a fair amount of money at the vet, and then like he's on special food because he's got allergies. So, you know, not really. I don't really want another dog.
I think that's a fairly easy one to knock back with friends and family, and the other dog syndrome, because you can always say, I don't want another dog, or I can't afford another dog, and nobody can deny what you can or can't afford. So that's right. That's it's an easier knockback than some of the other things that people suggest.
I think I think so too. And I think it's not as emotionally loaded as some of the other things too, because it's like, even if you wanted to go down the road, well, studies show that it actually, you know, for most dogs, it doesn't help. Like, I just think people would be like, okay, you know, but if you like, I think one of the important questions Sarah asked to try to kind of flesh out the situation is, do you want another dog? Right. Because if I said yes to that, if I said, yes, I do want another dog, then sure, try it, you know, foster a dog, and see if it helps, or just, you know, if you just want a second dog, just get the dog you want, you know.
I'm distracted by guest Rowan behind
Stacey. Yes. Isn't he
just
cute?
On the sofa.
Yeah, with his little head on the side. Aw,
snooze. Why are you doing stuff?
Yeah.
I do have one sort of get out of jail free card for some circumstances.
Oh, I know it.
Maybe not when it's a family or you know, or somebody who knows you well enough that you want to talk about your separation anxiety dog. But one of the kind of excuses you could give for not going somewhere, if somebody, an acquaintance or something, has asked you to go somewhere, is that your dog's not well, because no one is ever going to give you a kickback if you say that your dog's got diarrhea, so you don't want to leave them at home on their own.
Excuse me, just put it outside.
No!
What's wrong with you? Just put it outside. It's not going to hurt anything out there. Especially if you're in England in the rain and the dark.
Rinses off all by itself, it's fine.
And yeah. Geez, I've asked you out so many times, Sarah, and your dog has diarrhea a lot. So maybe you need to go and take it to the vet.
I've been to the vet so many times, Ness, and we're really working on it and we're trying very hard, but he just explodes and it's so out of the blue that he didn't leave him. And you know what it's like, Ness, when you're trying to clean it up. Oh God, it stinks.
I certainly do know what it's like.
And we've just got this lovely new cream carpet and I just can't put it outside.
What's wrong with you?
I haven't got a garden. I don't think my neighbours would appreciate it if I put him in their garden.
And I do think that's a good point, Sarah, is that, you know, if there are people in your life who aren't regulars, like it's
you mean
a
regular? Thing. You mean they're not regular or they're not?
No,
regular.
I don't mean we're not talking about poop anymore. Talking about a different subject. But I don't think you necessarily have to use your dog as an excuse. I don't think you have to get into it with everybody. I think you can just say, you know, I'm not available that night, or, oh, I'm, you know, I wish I could, but, you know, something else is going on.
Are you encouraging people to lie to their friends?
No, you just say, I'm not available. That's not a lie, right? Because you can't go, so you're unavailable. Yeah, I'm unavailable. You know, I actually really do try to, you know, be honest, but not, but you don't have to put yourself out there in a way that's going to hurt you, you know, or start a conversation that you don't really want to have with somebody else, right? Like, so it's just a boundary issue as far as I'm concerned, is that, you know, I don't want to go there with you. And there's plenty of people who you will want their support. And so you will make the effort to go there with them. And then depending on their reaction, you may or may not continue to go there with them. You know, if they're super supportive and say, oh my gosh, I would be so happy to watch your dog for you sometimes, so you can go to the gym or whatever, build furniture.
Back on that.
Back on furniture. Back on the furniture building. So Sarah, I heard that you have a dog with separation anxiety, and I know exactly why your dog has separation anxiety.
Why is that then?
Well, it's because you spoil him. Like, I've seen you let him on your furniture. He sleeps with you at night. You get him like all these toys and you give him cuddles all the time. I mean, it's ridiculous. That is exactly why he has separation anxiety.
He wants cuddles and he loves his cuddles and I love sleeping with him. Why would he not want to sleep on my bed? Who's told you that?
Well, the fact that you get into it is why he has separation anxiety. I mean, it's not wrong that he likes it, but it's kind of wrong that you are getting into it. None of my dogs have separation anxiety and they're not allowed on any of their furniture.
Oh, that's such a good one. None of my dogs have said, that's definitely come up. All my dogs are fine. It must be something to do with you and you've been rubbish with your dogs. Oh, no. And that's harsh.
It is harsh because it's hard to not take that personally, right? Because it's like, I mean, they probably don't mean it to be, you know, full of blame and judgment, but it just is, right? And so that's a really tough one.
Sarah, I'm here to tell you that I completely understand that your dog, I mean, that you sleep with your dog because it's so cold and wet and dark and wet in England.
Stop it now.
But seriously, folks, there are plenty of dogs that sleep with their owners. I have mine that do not have separation anxiety as well. So that argument is a little bit irrelevant to me. You can't create separation anxiety by cuddling your dog. In fact, the more they can be with you, they often learn independence a lot easier, especially if they're prone to something like separation anxiety. So if you shut them away from you and, you know, they can actually get a little bit more clingy. So sleeping with your dog, cuddling it, et cetera, is not going to create separation anxiety. I did have a lady reach out to me and she was told that she was taking her dog to the park and for walks and that was causing it.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. How ridiculous. It was part of that. You're spoiling it by grooming it, walking it, taking it to the park, et cetera, et cetera.
Like fulfilling its basic needs. Like,
So
that's part of the reason why we get dogs, right? Is so that we can play with them and snuggle them and, you know, they're our companions. And so it's.
And dogs are social animals and they're social sleepers. And there's plenty of dogs that aren't allowed on the bed or the furniture that don't have separation anxiety, and there's plenty that do. So, and there's plenty of dogs that are allowed on the bed, et cetera, that don't, and others that do as well. So, there's no correlation.
Rowan.
Rowan says, I am allowed on the couch. And I'm fine with it.
Stacey's just had some wood delivered.
Yeah.
She's going to do some woodworking later, ladies and gentlemen.
So just do some bartering with the neighbours. it's a real funny one, that one. Isn't it? I mean, and it's a difficult one to argue with family when or friends when they're saying things like that to you, even though, you know, we know that there are studies out there and there's lots of information and lots of opposing information that says that, you know, we know that that's not true, and just because your dog sleeps on the bed, they're not going to freak out when you leave. If anything, it just means that lots of people get a better night's sleep than the ones who have got the dog in the kitchen wailing all night long and getting more and more and more stressed and more anxious, and then during the day these poor puppies are more and more clingy and want to follow their owners more and more and more. You know, it's definitely counterintuitive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that, what is that whistling in the background?
That is a bird.
That's a new one. I hadn't heard that one before.
That's so pretty.
I should know what it is, but I forget.
It sounds like there's someone outside your window.
Like anus. Looking good in your PJs. Okay, so today we went through some misconceptions, but also talked about some ways to have caring conversations with people in your life who may question your tactics with your separation anxiety dog and the training, and may even have some really harsh suggestions or reasons that your dog may have separation anxiety. So I think that our biggest consensus is to tackle those conversations when it's important to you. Sometimes you just are going to have to agree to disagree. Sometimes you can just say thanks and walk away. But you know, it's not always fruitful or even necessary to have long discussions with people. So sometimes just letting it go is your best way forward. And, you know, trying to find some support from people who get it. So whether you're working with a trainer or you're in like Ness's group, where there are other people who are struggling with separation anxiety with their dog, or some other group, that would be a good way to get some support that you need. I am Stacey Bell with Focused Fun. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Focused Fun Dogs, and my website is focusedfun.net.
And you've been listening to me, Sarah McLaren, in the UK with Separation Anxiety Solutions. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram, and my webpage, www.separationanxietysolutions.com.
And I'm Ness Jones. I'm from Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded in Australia. But if you would like to join my Facebook group, please feel free. And guess what? I am always right. I just want to make sure you guys are fully on board with this and understand. Okay, good. I'm glad we covered that again. You have been listening to Tales from the Doghouse, Separation Anxiety Explained. You can find us on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and in America and the UK, Audible and Amazon, which is so exciting. We shall catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.